This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
Hello, everyone. We have made it to the Last Jedi discussion, finally. After over a year of us doing Star... Which, we're not going to stop doing Star Wars content. Right. So don't fear with that.
Just not on the regular.
Yes, we're moving on to a different series, but I would say maybe check back in April for possibly something that we might have missed from the Star Wars universe to make a comeback then. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. April Fool's Day. Hint, hint, hint. Anyways, so this is our coup de grace of our year of Star Wars with our review and discussion of The Last Jedi. And I mean, Ellie, I don't know. Do you want me to admit this now or later?
Well, I don't know what you're admitting.
Three episodes worth of theories, discussions, stuff like that, and I think if I remember correctly, which I will bring up some of our theories we had mentioned.
Yes.
Later.
Okay.
I think there was only one that I said, and it was in passing.
Okay.
That could even remotely be considered correct. So I mean, there's only one that's popping in my head that I'm not saying I called it. I'm not saying it in that regard. I'm just saying I'm glad I'm right about it, because otherwise there would be a recording of us doing the Blazing Challenge. So, I guess let's hit this off with the normal Zingness fashion of we, once again, as we did with Thor, did not see this movie together because we liked the way the Thor discussion turned out. So, we decided to try that for this. Me and her have not done any discussion minus a short argument about Porgs, because I bought... Another one. I have both Porg Pop figures now. That
everybody, there's a Porg invasion in my house.
So I have the Pop figure of the Porg just standing there stoically, and I got the Target exclusive Porg where it is leaned over with its wings outspread. Apparently there's one other one with like its mouth open.
Of course.
But that's neither here nor there. Aside from that discussion, we have not discussed Star Wars at all. So... I guess let's start this off with, did we like it, yes or no? Do I need to say spoiler alert?
Well, if we're doing a review on a movie, I would hope not, but...
Okay, Ellie, if you would.
What? Spoiler alert?
Thank you.
Oh, okay. I was like, what? Yes.
All right, do you want to go first or me? Just our kind of our general just... Out of the gate, liked it, did not.
Go ahead.
Loved it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was... I think Luke's quote of, this is not going to go the way you think, was great, because I went into that movie thinking it was going to go one direction, and it went in every direction, and I was could not be more happy about it. I was very impressed with what they did. I think they took a lot of risk, and I know that the fan base is a little divided right now. I'm on the side of, you know what, change isn't the worst thing in the world, I think, for this, and I think they're hopefully going to continue in a very interesting and unique direction. So, you're up.
Oh, man, me already?
Yep.
I thought you were going to long-windedly go on for a while.
No. That's when we get deeper into this, when we get more detailed.
Okay. Yes, I did like it, definitely.
All right.
Oh, wow. It's hard for me to describe.
Okay, I guess I should say for me.
Going into details.
I guess for me, real quick, I'm not saying this is perfect.
No, well, I don't know any movie that's perfect, honestly.
This, okay. I guess here's the best thing for it, since we've discussed this in the past.
Yeah.
This does not break... This might break into... I guess if there was my top three Star Wars movies, it wouldn't break into that. Top five, it probably would break into. Slightly, depending on my mood that day.
Okay, well, it's
definitely above the prequel stuff.
Okay, I was going to say, are you counting like...
Rogue One is included.
Okay, that's what I was curious.
In that discussion.
Okay.
So. So yeah, sorry to cut into yours. I just wanted to make sure people knew. I'm not saying this is perfect, and I'll get into it later. But by all means, continue with your cryptic answers.
I would say this would be in my top five.
Okay. Would it break top three?
I know
that's two spots, but
yeah, I would have to see it again. Now, keep in mind, when we've talked and reviewed the other movies, we've seen them a million times. Mm-hmm. So,
the only one that we've probably seen the least would have been the Rogue One.
I've seen that probably seven times already.
Well, I'm just saying, out of all of them, the one that we probably saw the least of was Rogue One.
That's probably one. Episode one, I've maybe watched that three times.
Really?
Yeah, I just have never really watched. I don't mind it. It's just, I haven't really. It seems to be if I'm in a Star Wars mood, that's not one that I put in usually.
All right. Stay on target. Sorry, this is the long pinnacle of, this is the third Star Wars record I'm doing in 3 days, which I had fun. I will mention where to find the other two I did, but it seems like every time in the other episodes I was on, it became a discussion of the Star, like every other episode but Last Jedi. So
no,
if you hear me just screaming, stay on target.
Yeah, well, don't do that again. So don't tell me what to say. I'm an adult. But no, so I would say I strongly liked it.
Okay.
I am not going to say yet. I really do want to watch it again. But I'm too cheap to pay for another movie ticket for it, so I will wait until it comes out and buy it. But so I did really like it. Now, of course, there are some parts that just really frustrate me with what they do sometimes with these movies. But it is what it is. So I don't know if you want me to get into detail yet. But yeah, I did strongly like it though.
All right. Before we get into more detail, I guess, on the overall story, favorite moment.
Oh, God. That's actually, for this particular movie.
It is hard, and even mine, I kind of caveat with, this is just the one that I kind of literally was on the edge of my seat for.
I can't.
You can't. You can't even give, like, one moment that you're like, even if you're like, it's tied with, like, five others.
This is why I said I strongly like this movie. There were several in a sea of dullness. There were several parts that by far just made this movie really fun.
All right.
So, can we do top three like we normally do? That would be easier.
Let's do top three moments. Okay. Even though I don't know what mine would be off the top of my head.
Okay.
I think I got it.
Okay. So.
You can go first. I'm excited. I kind of go over mine in my head.
Yeah, this is my first discussion, unlike yours.
Okay.
I would say one of my top three would be when, and you could just hear the, in the crowd.
I already know where this is going.
It was really exciting, and I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I literally leaned in, like, I was sitting, like, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
yes.
You were on the edge of your seat.
Yes, I was literally on the edge of my seat. Well, that was a couple moments, but the one in particular, when she turns...
Okay, I'm going to point this out now. If you've listened to the other two records, you already know what mine top moment is. And yes, one of my top three is the light speed ship bullet
moment. Oh my gosh!
And...
I have to move my microphone away a little bit, because I'm like too excited and it's going wee-wee.
But no, I mean, I mean, was it dead silent in your theater,
yes,
too?
Yes, it was.
Okay, in the movie, there's no sound for this scene.
But just ridiculous.
In my theater, the only thing you heard was when it happened, you just heard a...
Yes!
And then nothing.
Oh, my
gosh. From anyone in the theater. No one spoke. You could have heard a pin drop.
Oh, wow. It was...
You could have heard a porg drop.
Put the porg on the fire. Oh.
Too soon.
So, yes, that was quite literally amazing. I was speechless. I was so excited. I highly recommend just seeing this movie for some of these parts in the movie. especially if you have a good crowd that's like true Star Wars fans.
Yes.
They're just like, what? And you're like, what? And it's just, it's so.
Because when she started turning the ship around, I was like sitting there, I'm like, she's going to make it go into light speed and hit the ship.
Yes, I know. Yeah. So let's mention really quick, Zinger. Yes. It was very expected. Like, you knew right away what she's doing. It's not
and,
like,
and that's,
like,
and that's why I think made it so exciting, because as Star Wars fans, it's something you've kind of always heard about and something that you haven't really seen ever.
Yes.
Or that's something that's like, why don't they do that? And you saw it, and it was so epic. And it was a great, you know, moment in the theater. I mean, oh, in wow. my theater, obviously, in your theater, I think that goes.
Yeah.
Like I said.
Like, I can't imagine theaters. Seeing this at, a, like, a midnight launch.
Or an IMAX.
Yeah,
or
just where there's yeah. it's just packed. Because there were a lot of people in the theater, but mm-hmm. it wasn't packed.
Yeah.
But when you see it the time I did, it's to be expected.
Same time. Same for me. Right. So, I mean, it was.
But. Wow. So yeah. definitely one of my top three moments. Probably.
Light speed ship bullet.
Probably of pretty much the whole series. Like, it, wow. it was amazing. It's just, I don't, it was crazy. It was crazy. It was definitely top five of all Star Wars moments, I think, would have to be this moment. It was wow. just too crazy. All
right.
It was just amazing. I would say another one for me. Is when Luke walks out to challenge Ben.
to challenge Kylo. I'm all right, so Ben. So I think I might not have a list that is also on mine.
Because what?
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Oh, okay. No. I told you it's on my list.
No, I'm see, as you can tell, I love that. There were a lot of moments in this movie that just. Got okay. me excited okay. to be... Hold on. All
right.
There are several moments in this movie that make me excited to be a Star Wars fan again. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, I just... There were parts that did frustrate me, but there were also parts that just were spot on. So, this is another one. I was on the edge of my seat, and I'm like, what are they going to do? Oh, my God. It's Luke Skywalker, and... I was a little set aback at, I'll just say Kylo Ren, because I want to keep saying Ben, but because it called him Ben, like, the whole movie. But when he did his, like, his battle stance.
Yeah.
It threw me off a little bit, but I know he was trying to be, like, you know, epic, I don't know what do you want to do to elaborate on that moment, but it was amazing too.
How long did it take you to figure out
that he was a hologram?
That force projection. That he was force projecting himself.
Till the end, I really wasn't paying attention.
I'm not trying to toot my own horn here.
No, that's fine.
When it showed his feet moving, I'm like, is he just moving that lightly, or is he not even there? Because I'm like, why does he have the blue lightsaber again?
Gotcha.
I'm like, that's weird. Because I was like, oh, maybe he has his maybe that's like he reconstructed his father's lightsaber and he mm-hmm. has the red crystal in it. Because everyone kept on saying how he has a red crystal. It's probably his father's kyber crystal.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't happen. Once again, I will admit it time after time. Every one of my predictions was basically way off. So, or we don't know. We don't know on a few of them too, which we'll get to in the... I think once we're done with our top three, that fight was awesome.
Yes.
And the fact that you found out that he was force projecting himself was amazing.
I mean, in the moment I found out he was force projecting, I knew he was done.
Well, that was one thing. Yeah. And just
the amount of energy it takes.
Oh, no. Him basically like the whole thing with Leia going, you know, oh, you know, go do whatever, you know, he put him in his place. Because she knew he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And it was like he got put in his place in multiple ways because he got so frustrated when, you know, he tried to blast him away. Then he fought him and he couldn't touch him because obviously he wasn't there.
Right.
But then on top of it, Luke kind of ends with the whole, you know, you can't strike me down, you know, this, that, and the other because, you know, I'll become more power, you know, if you strike me down in hatred, blah, blah, blah. But then he also rubs the thing in of his father because, you know, he says, see you around, kid, which is exactly what Han said to Luke. And I'm sure he said it to other people. So it was that nice little, You can't even get, you will not even get the joy of fighting me. I am not even giving you the time of day to come here and face you face to face. That was the biggest, you know, middle finger to Kylo that, that Luke could have given, in my opinion, was the basically, I'm not even giving you the time of day to show up. How angry is this making you? Oh, by the way, let me make a reference to your father because, you know, that worked out well for you to kill him, right?
It was so smart, too. I mean, he knew to play off of his obsessiveness with the past and trying to, you know, just get rid of the past so he can move forward. And once again, it was his downfall because it caused them to be able to escape and live another day. So it was really a great scene.
Yes.
I was very happy with that. And it, oh my gosh, how cheesy. Like, I don't want to like it. But I kind of do. Yes,
the shoulder dust.
Like, I was like, I don't want to like it, but I mean, it was, I don't know, it was kind of, it made me grin, I will admit it.
All right.
So, did you want to do one since I
can't? No, go ahead. I want to see if, I want to see if we round out our top three or round it out the exact same.
To me,
and I don't think we did these in any order, of, you know, number one, number two, number three.
I could pick out several moments I really did like. Another one is after that fight, just seeing his silhouette looking off into the distance.
The two suns.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Okay.
Like, it was very touching.
Then we are at a difference. We have come to a separation of our list then. But yes, that was a very touching send-off for Luke. I'm sure it's not the last time we'll see him.
Oh, we'll see his Force ghost, I'm
hopefully.
Sure.
Hopefully.
Right.
I don't see why they wouldn't do it, but...
Mm-hmm.
No, I thought that was a great, you know, send-off of The Last Jedi and a passing of the torch. But I will get to my whole... Because there's something that I think should be on my top list, but it's kind of the... There's something that I think they were trying to do with the movie, and once again... I could be completely wrong, so this is I'm bouncing this off of you later to see how you interpret this.
Okay.
But we will get to that. The back-to-back Kylo Ren Rey Praetorian Guard fight. That definitely would be in my top three because it was such an awesome fight, and it kind of was just after everything that led to that point too, with you know what was going on. Snoke getting bisected. I think that's the correct nomenclature for getting cut in half. And he lost a hand, too. Someone said that he lost a hand, and I have refused to watch, listen to, or do any other review, like, watch any other reviews. I only watched an Easter egg thing, and they did point out that he lost a hand when that lightsaber cut him in half. I just didn't remember.
It was just sitting on the chair.
Yeah, I figured he would, but I was like, I don't think that, I think that's the least of his worries, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, that led up by the Praetorian Guard fight with them was, I think, epic. You know, just the way that they were both fighting, and it was just something really cool to see. Especially the back-to-back fighting side-by-side. So, that would go up there. So, I guess we'll move on to one more thing before we get into this. Okay, we can move on to a few more things, but one other thing. We need to settle this. And it needs to be settled. Are you still Team Crystal Fox? After seeing the movie, or did the porgs sway you in any way?
No, I don't fall for their cuteness.
All right, so you are still the team. And I, once again, there is a name for them, but they never like said Crystal in the movie. Fox. It's like Volpix or it's something.
Yes.
Volteca, I don't know.
It's irrelevant.
They're Crystal Fox.
Yes.
I kind of made an implication that they probably would all just be set dressing. They wouldn't be anything of any significance. Yes, the Crystal Foxes did kind of have...
Oh, no, you're going to let me talk about my... Fine, you're not going to take my Crystal Fox thunder.
Okay,
You can talk about your porgs.
Did anything the porgs did, were they just completely unredeemable in your mind?
They were just there to be cute and to be able to sell them to children. And to ridiculous grown men.
Yes.
That are obsessed.
But the porg smacking against the Falcon windshield wasn't funny to you?
No.
the Porg almost getting its head lopped off by a lightsaber.
You know what was funny to me?
When Chewie was trying to eat him.
Watching that little Porg in his face, and Chewie was like, damn, trying to get a meal here. That was funny.
I mean, like I said, the Porgs were set dressing. The Foxes had their little point, which I'm sure you're about to make, so go for it.
Thank you. I will take the floor now, Zinger. So, Porgs are made for food. That's all they're good for. They're just made for chewy food. Okay? You know, people like Cornish hens, they could have Porgs for dinner. Now, for me personally...
Can you continue to do this discussion while looking our pop figure Porg in the face?
I would eat that Porg if it was roasted with, like, potatoes around it and all kinds of yumminess.
What's wrong with you?
So, let's move on to the true mascots of this movie, the Crystal Fox. First off, they make rainbows. I mean, the crystals, I can just imagine all the pretty little reflections and rainbows off their bodies. They're pretty awesome. Second off, they make super awesome noises when they walk, you know, all the crystals and everything. But most importantly, this is the hero of the Resistance. Right here, the Crystal Foxes are. If it wasn't for the Crystal Foxes, they would not have known that there was another way out. They followed the Crystal Foxes to freedom. What do you have to say about that, Zinger?
I never argued that.
What did your Porgs do for the Resistance? Nothing. They just annoyed Chewie. Chewie had to smack him around and eat him, but they really didn't.
Never ate him. I don't think you ever saw him eat one.
You don't know. He made that last Porg go away. He could have snuck that in. He was hungry. It was already cooked. Like,
there was two of them cooking, by the way.
I know. But you see what I'm saying? These are the unsung heroes for the Resistance. Let's give them some respect, people.
I'm still team Porg. And on that note, I've already pointed out that I bought another Porg.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Alright. So, before I guess we get into the story, there is one other thing I want to tackle. So, what did you think of the movie's new trilogy's Boba Fett? Because I am calling this character the new Boba Fett.
Oh.
Because they have something super interesting going on that we're not really privy to, and I doubt we're ever going to get any answers or any backstory on them. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I'm not sure.
Maz.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
I'm calling it now. She is going... If they continue to not explain anything about her in episode 9,
uh-huh,
and just have her doing something crazy again, I will be so happy. Because when they went to her and she was shooting at people and doing all this stuff, I was like, this is awesome. I don't know why this is really funny to me, but it is.
It was interesting.
So I like that. That scene was up there as like, there's no explanation. There's no nothing going on here. So yeah, I mean, I guess before we get into the main discussion, I will point out that I have heard back from Marie, who was on our final predictions, and as you have probably if you have listened to that, you can tell that we were both wrong on multiple cases, but she wanted to make sure to point out that she did really enjoy the movie.
Oh, great.
So I just wanted to make sure to point that out, since she helped us on the last one. Chet has given a very interesting answer. I don't think I've gotten a solid yes or no, and he's seen it multiple times. I'm sure he'll chime in or comment on this, so I'm sure we'll get a final answer from him, but I know he has seen it several times now. So with that, let's get into the movie. I'm sure with us, we're not going to go through the entire movie beat by beat.
No.
But let's start with the beginning of the movie. The soul.
I wonder ship why you want to talk about that.
Versus a dreadnought.
Yeah. Poe's an idiot.
Okay. All right. Did it instantly?
I am not Team Dameron. Let's just put it that way.
Did it instantly make you angry at the beginning of the movie for it to once again start with him basically being a smartass?
I did not like that entire scene.
All right.
It's not needed. You could cut it out and it really would not matter.
All right.
I thought it was stupid. Seriously, mama jokes. Like, I'm just saying this movie is a much higher caliber of class to need to put something like that in there.
I will defend it now because I think an interesting thing, and I don't know if you caught it, but it was pretty heavy-handed, so if you didn't, I don't know. Poe's story arc. He had a arc from where he was a reckless, stupid pilot that got an entire entire bomber squadron destroyed and risked the resistance, all for, you know, him trying to take out one thing, to where he's now a bigger leader in the resistance and is making better choices thanks to Leia's guidance. I think he had a very interesting story arc. And I will say the only redeeming part of that thing is I was kind of meh about it, but at least it served the point of he was charging his ship's, like, super jump thing. So that's what he was using that time to delay them so he could charge that. So at least there was vague reasoning for it.
No, he was wrong twice.
No, he was...
He almost killed the Resistance a second time.
What, you mean the whole... No, but he had a story arc where he, you know, was shown the error of his ways, and he's grown as a character because at the end on the base, he's basically like, no, Finn, we can't do this. We have to, you know, we have to be... He basically learned the lesson of it's not winning the day sometimes, it's winning tomorrow. Okay. And he always focused on winning the day instead of winning tomorrow.
Just because we're learning a lesson doesn't mean that the lesson that we learned earlier was the right way to do it.
He learned that it wasn't the right way to do it eventually. I'm just saying I felt that they gave Poe an interesting story arc as, you know, he needed to learn how to be a true leader.
Right.
And I like that because I wasn't expecting it. And it's something that was subtly woven throughout the story where you think he's... At one point, you're like, oh my gosh, rebel, you know, overthrow the Laura Dern character or Vice Admiral Haldo, you know, yeah, Leia would totally be on your side. Nope. So I liked all of that. It was a nice story arc for him.
It was obvious. You could see it coming a mile away, in my opinion.
Okay.
Obviously, they're setting him up to be the leader for the last movie. Well, the last of this trilogy. Everybody's old and dying. So, I mean, they have to make it so that the younger people are going to be the leaders ending the movie. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you knew this was a story progression that he has to go through. I mean, that's just obvious.
Yeah.
That wasn't a surprise to me. But it was poorly done in the beginning.
Okay, I was about to say, I think near the end it got better. It's just in the beginning, yes.
In the middle and the end, I like the way they progressed him in the middle and the end. I'm not arguing with you with that. But the beginning part was just so stupid.
Okay. Can we agree on this? It led to a great Leia line, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said...
Get your head out of your cockpit.
That was pretty funny.
See?
I mean, those little things I don't mind. But that whole, like...
Phone call.
Yeah, haha, it is funny. It was funny if you take it aside. But, like I've said before, some of these new Star Wars movies, they just... It's just ridiculous. They need to look back into what they're writing and write it better. Like, that just was not... It wasn't necessary and it doesn't work with the series. I don't care what anybody says.
Everything's fine here. Everything's fine. How are you? What's your operating number? And boring conversation anyways. It was a little bit more on the extreme side, but it's not like Star Wars hasn't had cheesy, dumb humor in it every now and then.
Right.
I'm not trying to start that argument.
Argue all you want. It was a bad line. I mean, it was a bad, like, 3 minutes or whatever it was of the section. Like, there's just so much. He can be cocky. He can be arrogant. He can need to learn a lesson. He can be reckless. Like, I completely get that. That's the way his character should be.
Mm-hmm.
But just, like, seriously, it's just the way it was written. Like I said, I said in the beginning, I extremely do like this movie. But it's not necessary to have that comic relief in that situation. Star Wars is known through the whole series of having great little comic relief sections. It is a cheesy sci-fi movie. I've never said it. It's not. It's just the way it's been written in jokes in other sections. The movie before this, Force Awakens, was worse. So I will say I do appreciate the progression in this one. This one didn't have as many of those just awkward, cheesy moments that didn't make sense. So this one was much better. But yes, that one little scene did irk me, but I got over it and I moved on. But I just didn't like the way they did that first scene. It was just, I don't know. And I forgot what the guy's name is again, the redhead.
Hux.
Seriously, I felt like he was the Zoolander of Star Wars. He either had extreme frustration face or constipated face. It was one of the two.
Like, I thought you meant, because this was brought up in other records, and I don't know if it's something you noticed too. He seemed like he was almost acting in a completely different movie. Like his character had weird.
No,
like,
I agree.
Almost like he's in Spaceballs. He's acting in Spaceballs.
He overacted. And like I said, when it seemed like he was trying to be like mad or frustrated, I felt like he needed to go to the bathroom. Like his facial expressions just messed with me too much.
I mean, he had some good moments. I did like, you know, the where they were shooting at Luke thing where he's like, are you done yet?
Well, because he realized that this guy is way out of control. Yeah. And you know.
Also, it's a subtle thing, but where he goes to take out his blaster in the throne room area, mm-hmm. and then Kylo starts to wake up and he puts it away. I thought that was a nice, but his character is just kind of weird in this movie. It's not terrible. It's just kind of this weird, like, huh.
Yeah, thing. I mean, I wouldn't say he was. Yeah, like you said, I wouldn't say he's like completely terrible, but yeah, his facial expressions just sometimes it just didn't seem to. It was just weird. I don't know.
It wasn't like his acting ruined anything. It was just kind of like this is an odd choice to do here, but okay. Yeah, it doesn't not work. It's just very weird.
Yes.
So do you want to make an early prediction on 9? Are we gonna take the odds here and say that the 9 will open with Poe facing down some First Order somebody and making some comment?
Please don't.
Because it would immediately retroactively make his character's arc in this kind of pointless then.
Yes, please don't.
Though it would be funny to have a 3-for-3.
It wouldn't make sense, though.
Because he's grown as a character.
Yes, he's grown as a character, so it wouldn't make sense that he would do that. But I don't know.
I can see them doing it and making it make sense for, like, somehow to where he's only doing it to distract again or something. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, that's episode 9. Too early for me to even start space. I just wanted to ask since we're 2-for-2 now. So the rebels, of course, make their escape. Finn wakes up. We'll get to the Rey and Luke stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But so Finn wakes up and they're trying to do this whole plan on how to, you know. I know we are jumping around, by the way, with this because we cannot go story beat by beat.
Mm-mm.
So if there's anything that we miss, we're not doing it intentionally. We're just trying to.
Well, I'm sorry. I've seen it one time. So.
Yeah, that's one thing. And two, I don't want this to be as long or longer than the movie.
Yeah.
So them going to Canto Bight to get this expert hacker or slicer thing. I know you like the Canto Bight and doing that whole scene.
I think it could have been shorter. Does that make sense?
Okay.
I liked that they went there to find the master hacker, and it showed a point of, like, with the scene. If they didn't do that scene, then they couldn't have done the end scene.
All right, keep going.
Okay, I think it was trying to instill in there that hope is still alive and that future resistance members, you know, so that's what I got out of it. I think maybe, like I said, it could have been a little shorter. I think they kind of drew it out
I enjoyed that in retrospective, because I feel like, and I didn't want to get into this early, but I think the message of this movie was trying to, I mean, especially with the Canto Bight thing, was showing, you know, they put this call out to the galaxy and no one seemed to answer.
Right.
But it's that everyone out there wants to answer.
Yes.
That this entire war economy that's been built, you know, that they point out, you know, people are getting rich off of basically this war by playing both sides, you know, these people are being oppressed. Like, it's more of, it's not just about defeating the First Order. It's about defeating the mindset of the galaxy that Palpatine kind of put in retrospective, going way back, that a war economy would work. And I think that, you know, showing that there is hope in the galaxy, and that this is what that call went out for. It didn't go out, you know, for tons of starships to suddenly show up. It went for people to join. For a bunch of ragtag group of people to come together once again and fight for the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it was well done in that regard. And I'm glad that you picked up on it, too. Yeah. I know that a lot of people don't like it. And yes, it could have probably been shorter. The whole race thing with the horse...
Right.
Fennecky thingies was cool. The them meeting DJ and it ultimately just, I think people look at it as, well, since he didn't help them and actually, you know, kind of took them a step back almost further, was that kind of, but it's like, that's the thing. They went to try to do something to help and it didn't turn out right. Not everything, I think, in movies needs to have, like, that. I think that it showed what it needed to, and the whole other thing with DJ and stuff was something to where it was kind of giving you false hope in a situation. But do you think DJ from the beginning was set up there by the First Order, or did he make a deal with them once they were captured, in your opinion?
I feel like it could have gone either way. I really didn't.
I mean,
he seemed really shady, so.
I feel like he cut a deal with the First Order once they were captured. Because...
Well, that's what he says.
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing, though. Other people have been like, well, was he set up for them to find at Canto Bight and betray them the entire time? I'm like, no, I think he betrayed him in the moment of,
we
got captured. Hey, guess what? I overheard them talking about they're going to have these ships escaping. You might want to check to see if their ship's escaping. Oh, hey, guess what there is? You know, here's what they were doing.
Well, he said he's a businessman.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically, and I liked his line that he said, lose some stuff today, win some stuff tomorrow, kind of. I can't remember exactly
what
basically saying,
the,
you know,
the thing he said to Finn.
Yeah, you might be losing stuff today, but you can win tomorrow. Yeah. So I mean, is he a great guy? I know, but...
He was a good to show what kind of scum the First Order and what kind of mentality the First Order is allowing to, but also kind of the resistance, too, because, I mean, if he pointed out that, you know, the person's ship they stole, they're playing both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was just an interesting thing that I think a lot of people, you know, might not like, might not be a fan of. I mean, I will admit it did go too long.
Yeah, like I said, it was drawn out, but I mean, I got what they were trying to do with it.
So let's put a pin that we have at the moment with our discussion. Rose and Finn are there. And did you like the character of Rose, by the way?
She's likable.
Okay.
I mean, but it's typical.
Okay.
I mean, I hate the way movies, it's not just this one, but just movies in general, it always has to be a guy and a girl. And one of them ends up falling for the other one. You know what I'm saying? It's just...
All right.
I would have been okay if maybe it was, you know, another guy that was helping him or this and that. I just don't feel like why it always has to be... We always have to pair people up, because are they trying to show some kind of, like, romantic drama in the next movie between Rose and Rey with Finn, and I mean, you know what I'm saying,
and like Poe and a Porg and who knows, but okay, we're putting a pin in where their story's at.
Yeah,
because I'm sure we need to talk a little bit about how there's certain things that they were cleaning up from Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
There, so we've already kind of discussed what was going. Okay, actually, there's one thing we didn't discuss. All right, the Leia scene.
Oh, where she...
Okay, I was in the theater, and I went when that thing blew up. And by the way, R.I.P. 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 Akbar. Because he bit in that scene. He didn't use the force or whatever she used to save himself. But I just wanted to give the respect to that calamari that he deserves. Mon calamari. I might be vaguely hungry while we're recording this.
Well, go eat a pork.
No. what did you think of that scene? Where, you know, she supposedly bit it, but then kind of came back. Because I asked you and I was about to answer it myself.
I mean, obviously it was meant to be very dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if she perished in space, then she wouldn't have been able to come back to shoot Poe. So, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that scene. Clearly, she's it shows how extremely strong she is.
That Luke probably has shown her some Force stuff.
Yes, obviously.
Yes.
So, I mean, it was interesting. It was definitely, I'm going to say I wasn't expecting it. I thought that's how they were going to...
I did too.
Yeah, so it definitely did surprise me.
The only thing that got me was I'm like, well, there's promotional stuff of her on Kraight, so why would they... And I'm like, unless they really did just film all that and had that in there as a red herring to distract you, like, ha, 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 she's going to be on Kraight. Nope.
Right.
But, no, I mean, it is sad that she has passed on, that Carrie Fisher has passed on in the reality of the world, but... I'm kind of wondering how they're going to do with what her character now, because I seriously thought that was it, that's how she gets blown out of the ship, and that's it. I'm glad she came back. She had some great moments after that. I mean, shooting Poe, but the interaction between her and Luke.
Oh, no, no.
Poe also, you know, hey, I'm not going to be around forever because, you know, I can only do that space thing a few more times.
Right.
Before someone calls BS on it. But no, I mean, I thought that scene was very, very much out of, I was surprised they did it, and I'm surprised they followed it up with having her come back.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no explanation for that too. So, I mean, we assume it's obviously it's the Force, but there's no explanation to how that happened. So let's pick up on, I guess, the bigger part of this, the Rey and Luke stuff.
Yes, please.
All right. There is another moment that could have made it in my favorites here, and I'm just going to say it now. Chewie basically kicking in the door and coming in and almost just dragging Luke out of there, I thought was kind of funny. But it was just a funny moment because I felt Chewie didn't have much to do in this movie except for kind of be around. Kind of I guess he was sort of being sad about Han being dead.
Right.
And everyone was just like, just leave the Wookiee, let him...
Let him eat porgs.
Let him recover in his own way. So,
let him eat porgs and beat them up.
So, Luke and Rey.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I think very reminiscent of Yoda and Luke to an extent. But we kind of got some backstory on what happened with Ben. And it was all told from a...
Different point of view.
Certain point of view.
Certain point of view, excuse me.
Yes. Which I think they both were right in their own way of how they told it to her.
Yeah.
And I think that is interesting because you got the duality of, you know, what each person saw in that scene. And I thought that was cool. Kind of finding out that Luke doesn't want anything to do with the Jedi and that the whole the Jedi must end was him sort of pointing out they've been basically failures in the universe.
Right.
They allowed you. I enjoyed the fact that he pointed out the entire plot of, you know, how Sidious became the Emperor and everything. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, they let this happen right under their noses, and that I thought was a great moment. Her training was not very much, but
no.
Her having the whole, you know, searching for who her parents were and the whole weird thing with her and Kylo, that was super weird. In the beginning, the whole, you know, how they would just sit there and suddenly they'd be, like, in front of each other. Mentally, which was, it was just, I enjoyed that she was like, I don't have time for this. Mm-hmm. Moments. And I liked all that. I don't know how you felt about it. Sorry, I'll shut up for a minute so you can say your stuff.
No, I'm really not that interested in it.
Really?
I was definitely more interested in, you know, the backstory and the pain of Luke and the struggle that he had with Ben. Mm-hmm. I thought that was an interesting... I liked seeing the two sides, you know, like Ben's side of the story and his side of the story.
They're the same story, but...
It was interesting, yeah.
They're both true from a certain point of view.
And it was really cool. And just that scene where they showed him when he was, you know, entering his mind and he could see all that pain and destruction that Ben was struggling with. In the face.
Yeah.
His face in that one scene, Luke's face.
Yeah.
Of just that pure horror. Well, the other
thing I thought was great was, you know, he's supposed to be, he's the greatest Jedi, you know, the legend of and Luke Skywalker. Scared. But he even says he had a moment, Terry lapse in judgment, and that caused everything to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that I thought was an amazing thing to once again grow.
He created Kylo Ren.
Snoke was playing his hand in there, but still, at the same time...
That could have been the turning point of, like, you know, so it...
Instead of trying to, you know, talk to him about it, instead he went in and had a momentary lapse and caused...
Right.
Basically everything, figuratively and literally, to come crashing down around him.
Mm-hmm. So I liked it, and... I thought it was interesting, the whole, like, burning bush scene.
Oh, where okay, so we're I guess, to the point of the Return of Yoda.
Yes.
There is something else I want to talk about before this, but I guess let's talk about the Return of Yoda.
Yeah.
What did you think of Yoda coming back, Force Ghost?
I kind of liked it.
Did you mind the puppet?
He looked fine to me.
It was kind of like... Okay, at first for me, and I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I liked the way Yoda was like, you know what, you're going to threaten to burn it down? Let me do that for you. You know?
I'm not going to sit here and have you hemming and hawing about it.
Let's just get that over with so we can move forward. And you can do what you need to do.
And, you know, he told him nothing in that tree or nothing any of those books have is going to teach her anything she doesn't already know or can't already learn.
Right.
I thought the line of we are what they grow beyond was great. Just to kind of, you know, Luke became a master or, you know, tried to, you know, rebuild the Jedi. And I don't think he failed. I think he succeeded in an unorthodox way. Because I've hinted at, you know, the hope in a galaxy, but also I think Rey is the next generation of what the Jedi need to be. Because Luke was trained in the ways of the Force, but they were the ways that the Force failed.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of didn't do much training.
No.
And actually had an interesting thing where she went into the cave and, like Luke, she saw herself.
Right.
Too.
Right.
And I think that was very interesting, and that she, her means for wanting to use the Force is very different from other people. So that was cool. And once again, if you want a nice comedy moment here, I enjoyed the where are you from? Nowhere. No one's from nowhere. I'm from Jakku. Yeah, that's pretty close to nowhere. Like once again, nice humor slid in there, because this movie's heavy. If you really want to get down to it, this movie's very heavy.
But those are the kind of things I'm okay with.
Yes.
They're not off-putting. They don't, like, distract you from the story. It's nice and slid in there.
All right.
Yes.
So her confronting Luke and having that whole little...
I liked that.
Antenna slap. I thought that fight was great to show, you know, Luke isn't incapable of... It was great because I think also showed Luke is not incapable of being a warrior still. He still got all that. He's just refusing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of showed how powerful she was. And then she, of course, goes off to try to, you know, turn Kylo, which... Right. Let's jump to that part. So we've got the pin in a few different things. Now Snoke's throne room. This scene, which you get to have Snoke confront them. He's the big baddie. He's, you know, having, shows that he's obviously very powerful with the Force.
Right.
Very formidable. Doesn't explain how he is still. Maybe that's me just being a little jealous of the fact of certain questions didn't get answered. But you know what? Maybe it's better that way. Because they kind of, there was a speech that we're about to get to that I think explains that. He basically, in my opinion, Snoke's hubris got in the way of him. He was too focused on, you know, my disciple's going to strike her down, you know, yes, you know, blah, blah, blah. But he was too distracted by that to realize that he was the one that was going to be struck down. So I thought that was a nice little touch there. I do also, once again, when I get to my whole the Force is back thing, him claiming that, you know, darkness rises and light to meet it. You know, how she's becoming so powerful because the light's basically making her more powerful to meet the darkness that he's created. So I thought that was an interesting quote from him. But what did you think of the big baddie getting just kind of offed out of nowhere as sort of a, yeah, he's gone. He's not important.
I mean, I liked it, but it was fun to see the fight scene afterwards.
Yes, yes.
They look so cool.
Them fighting back to back and everything.
Yeah, and I loved the, I'm not good with
Praetorian
all the
guard.
The
Praetorian
red.
Guards.
They're really cool looking.
They were.
Like all the red and everything, and you know just how he's so desperate. Kylo Ren is so desperate. He's literally almost begging her to join him.
Awesome fight with her versus all the Praetorian guards and everything. I thought that was really cool, personally.
And I like the power struggle when they were both trying to get the lightsaber.
We got to get to another point before that, though.
His are we going to go through
No. His whole speech to her is basically, like, because you find out who her parents are. Well, everyone keeps saying, oh, well he lied to her. It's obviously going to be, you know, like the Luke's going to come to her later and be like, well, it's a Force Ghost and do the Obi-Wan thing. But no, I think that he was being truthful with her because she knew that her parents were nobodies and that they abandoned her. So I personally think that that's what that was. Was he was being truthful with her because what did he have to lose in that situation?
Right.
If he knew that the worst thing he could do to her was tell her, hey, you're right. They were nobodies. Just like you are. You're nobody in this universe. And then it showed that she was somebody. So I think that played into, you know, the rebellion that, you know, people are rising up and everything.
It doesn't matter where you come from.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Because who was Luke, to be right. honest, when he was introduced? He was nobody. I mean, later on you find out he's somebody, but...
Right.
But no, I mean, I really enjoyed that whole thing. I mean, could it possibly be in 9 that we found out he was lying? Yeah, so I think it will diminish it. And that was the one thing I championed and was so glad I was correct about, is that I wanted her to be a nobody. I mean, I made several predictions, but in the end, I did want her to just be just like she's a nobody. And she and Daisy Ridley, apparently, in several interviews, when people asked her about that, she's kind of like, why is her parents are so important? Like, she kept saying that, and everyone's like, oh, it's got to be. And it's like, maybe it doesn't.
Right.
So I enjoyed that part of it. Of course, now we're at the point where we put a pin in other stuff and the ship gets split in half by the light speed bullet, which we've already discussed, which
right.
is awesome. And then you get the Phasma versus Finn fight, which I think should have happened in Force Awakens. And you did get the traitor thing again a little bit, but I don't know. Do you think she's dead?
It can go either way.
I kind of want her to come back again. Just for some reason she's back, but half of her armor's melted to her, so it's all epic.
Yeah, because she fell in the fire.
Yeah. But,
I think the chances are pretty slim, but...
The fight was cool and everything in the sense of it was a nice little
arc. I like
arc.
The way he kind of, like, rose up from behind her and was like, whack!
Yeah. I like the fight. It was a good moment for Finn. And then he followed it up with a dumb moment. So, I mean, we have that. So, we get to the crate battle. And, you know, the resistance is obviously, like, next to nothing left. But, I mean, I... I the the scene at the end was sort of something to where I just felt it was just another battle that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool with all the red dust and everything, and the Falcon
that
coming.
Was a very
and
cool
the Falcon
touch.
Coming in was, I think, a great moment too. But it was just kind of a lead up to the Luke fight.
Yes,
I mean to be honest, the crate fight is in two forms. It's the part where the Luke fights the second part. Everything else is the first part. And I mean, I don't know. Finn trying to sacrifice himself was just such a. It was a moment that I was like, really, are we doing this? You know, I said one of my favorite moments was somebody sacrificing themselves, but it was. That was something I felt was more of a definite thing. Him sacrificing himself was, oh, this could work.
Right.
With her sacrificing herself and splitting in half, you know, the entire First Order fleet, I think that was more definite. Then, of course, they had the whole thing with him and Rose and everything, which was nice. But he somehow makes it back to the base, as we discussed. They get out and everything, and she lifts rocks. Like she said, oh, the Force isn't just lifting rocks, but... It's what she does to save.
Sometimes you gotta lift rocks. Yeah.
So I thought that was great. And also it was kind of weird.
It was a nice scene too. Just yes. Her standing there with the rocks
yes.
to the side.
It was cool
like
for
that.
Everyone in the Resistance to see she is the new Force user for us.
Yes. So it was neat.
Her and Poe actually got to meet face to face, which I thought was kind of a, oh yeah, they never really met. Apparently. But no, I think that kind of brings us to the end of the movie, and I think both want to just quickly talk about the scene back on Canto Bight again with the kid who, I guess you saw it too.
Yeah, his ring.
His ring, but did you see him use the Force to pick up the broom? If you watch when he walks out, he puts his hand out and the broom comes over to him.
It's very subtle.
It is supposed to be subtle.
Yeah.
But if you look, he's holding the broom in a certain way that looks like a lightsaber. It's showing that the Force is, once again, an ethereal, spiritual thing, 100%. This movie, in my opinion, reaffirmed that it's not midichlorians. It's not that stuff. It is ethereal again. And that the Force is a present thing trying to balance out the universe, or the galaxy. So I thought that was great, and I thought it was great, you know, them doing the whole, you know, oh, well, Luke came out and did this, because Luke became the greatest legend ever by facing Kylo like that, because now everyone's going to know, oh my gosh, they had this guy fighting for him.
Well, and it was nice, too, not to go back to that, but it was nice the way he was like, I'm not going to be the last Jedi.
Yeah,
you know, he pointed out that they will live on.
Yes, and I know that they're kind of implying it's Rey. I think that it is implying that there are more Jedi, mm-hmm. or there are more people who will use the Force,
right.
out there in the world. So
yeah, I liked the ending. I thought it was cool.
I did too. I liked the cut back to Canto Bight. Like I said, I think it affirms some stuff I kind of enjoyed about this movie, that it's showing that, you know, there's a bigger picture out there that hopefully 9 will allow us to really get into more. But, I mean, yeah, so I guess that's where we're going to conclude this I guess for now. I'm sure we'll have another discussion later on Star Wars some more. But, I mean, I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to point out about this movie.
I just want to say overall, I did like it. I feel like it was a little bit more drawn out than it needed to be. It definitely could have been. And I want to say really quick, I don't have a problem with long movies.
Yeah.
I actually am one that can sit for 3 hours and watch
yeah.
if it's engaging and it's
it
good.
It didn't feel... Where it felt long for me was once they got to Crate. But then it picked up again once Luke showed up.
Yeah, there was a couple moments that I felt were...
It had
an
ebb
out.
And flow to it,
yeah.
sort of, to where there was parts that seemed like they just zipped by, and there's other mm-hmm. parts that seemed like they just kind of.
Well, stayed. I mean, there's parts that flew by for you as a watcher.
Yeah.
You know, and then there were parts that kind of drug on a little bit, but
yeah.
I mean, overall, like I said, I do like this movie. I liked it better than the last one, and there were definitely a lot more wow moments in this one, and. I have more hope for the next movie.
Even though it's being done by J.J. Abrams again?
Well, just just based off of the progression from the 7 to 8.
Okay.
I do have hope that 9 will be decent as well.
All right. Do you feel this one was as how am I going to say this? Sorry, I'm trying to remember now. Do you feel this one was as fan pandery as the other one was?
No.
I feel it was, but it did it more subtly, I feel, at times. It wasn't like a, look at it. It was more of like a, oh yeah, if you're paying attention. A lot of people point out the two sons was a little heavy-handed, well, but I'm yeah. No, it's for him. Just give it that.
I thought that was beautiful, but see, that's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked, if this is considered just as fan pandering as the last one, it was better for this one than it was the last one.
I think it did it in an interesting way at times. Like BB-8, when he had the trash can on, was making mouse droid noises. So there was that. BB-8 also using the whatever arm as a gun thing and shooting, gosh. And then he kind of blew out the
yes.
The smoke was an this movie obviously had a good bit of humor, and it wasn't, I think, ham-fisted in there. So I mean, overall, like I said, I think we both are walking away from this enjoying it and hoping that, you know, stuff will continue on a certain path
right
in the future. So I guess we will see where it goes from here.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I mean, we would normally do our normal, like, if we had any reviews or anything, but we felt like this should be just focused on Star Wars.
Yeah.
For this one. So, before we wrap up, though, I know I just said this is more focused on Star Wars, but let me immediately contradict that. I know we might have said earlier, I know that we said, I believe it was our Christmas Day or next week's episode was going to be us discussing Captain America. That will actually be first of the year. We still have a nerd fight that will come in, but we have a very interesting discussion with a friend of the podcast. Definitely look up to the skies. And then back down to your whatever podcast app you're on to check out that discussion on next Monday. So I just wanted to give that quick correction. I don't know how much we revealed about our upcoming shows. So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, but with that, Ellie, if you would, what's some of the best places to find us on the internet?
Well, you could, of course, check out darkmyths.org.
Yes, you can find other great podcasts on there with dark themes to them. Stuff maybe Kylo Ren would listen to.
Oh.
Ooh, yes. Okay. Dark. Yes. You can also find me discussing stuff every week on Knights of Vader, Star Wars related stuff. So that is one of the two other ones I recorded. The other one is on Mind of a Geek. I did post links to that. That one is a probably about a 4-hour long discussion. So I am in there yelling at points. So if you want to listen to that, it was a lot of fun to do. And that was my first take on The Last Jedi. So if you wanted my fresh opinions, that was kind of the first place to go. And once again, stuff's a lot of fun. But I will point out, we normally try to keep stuff family friendly on here. That is not the case on that one. Just warning you guys, if you're like, oh, well, you know, they don't cuss and everything too much on here. We had a lot of fun, but we were very vulgar at times. So just keep that in mind. Of course, there will be a review on Knights of Vader as well with that discussion with them, which was a lot of fun to do too. So you can also find us, of course, on Podbean, TunedIn, Google Play, Stitcher, and if you want to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
You leave it on Apple Podcasts. I realize I messed that up, but you know what? We're going to roll with it.
Nice. Facebook.
Zing this. Yes. On Twitter, you can go to...
@zingthis.
On Instagram, you can go and...
Go to @zingthispodcast. See some pictures.
You can find us playing some games on
twitch.tv/zingthis.
Yes. And if you want to contribute to the podcast, you can go to www.patreon.com/zingthis. I know that there's been a lot of talk about stuff with the Patreon, and it's out of our control with, of course, you know, them changing prices. I heard that everything's going back to normal, that they are not continuing with that. So check that out. We hopefully will be getting some stuff out there soon. It's just with it being the month of December, we are family and everything. But we will be putting out some very interesting stuff in January. I think that some people might be interested in some possible board game play stuff, maybe, possibly. Ellie, are you going to... No comment?
No.
All right. She's going to keep it close to the chest on that one.
Yes.
All right. You can also, of course, email us directly.
Zingthis@gmail.com.
If you want to buy anything for your friends and family with our logo on it for the holidays.
Or your baby.
Or your baby, because there is a onesie. You can go to
www.tpublic.com/zingthis.
Our sound guy is A.A. Ron. Our logo is done by Chris Zinger. And finally,
DJ Golden Boy
89.
Play us out.
Sweet Porg Money.
Crystal Fox.
All right.